Amen. I felt like I've been to church already. How about you? Hallelujah. So thankful for His presence. So thankful for your gathering. So thankful that you're here today. How many of you come to celebrate Jesus today? The power of the blood, the presence, the anointing, the flow of His presence. You know, you can watch online, but there's just something that happens in-house. Amen? Amen. It's like, you know, if you got somebody far away and you do FaceTime, that's good, but it's not like in person, is it? It's not like the real thing. Amen. It's not like being in the house with His presence and His anointing. Amen. And so we're very thankful for that this morning. We're thankful that you're here today. If you are a visitor, please make yourself at home. Enjoy the presence of the Lord. Meet somebody, greet somebody, and just make yourself at home. We're just some crazy love, Jesus-loving people who just come together to lift up the name of Jesus. And so we welcome you here today. And we are so thankful. The kids have got all kinds of fun things planned downstairs. And then there's an egg hunt. So my husband laughed at me this morning because I ran the Easter bunny out of my yard before I got here. That's why he didn't get an Easter basket, is because I run off the Easter bunny. So there you go. Saints praying for Dan, if you would please, that he did not get an Easter basket. I know that bunny was after the flowers that I just put out, right? And here I've been blaming on them deer all along, and maybe it's the bunny that's doing it. I don't know, but we didn't come today to celebrate the bunny. We come to celebrate the lamb, didn't we? Amen. And so I'm very thankful for that. I'm thankful you all didn't blow away last night also, so that's all good. I'm going to have Lisa go ahead and bring up my scripture in John, if you would, please. Amen. 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 We came together Friday night and did a good Friday, just a time of reflection and celebration and just time of quietness in the spirit and presence of the Lord. And it was just beautiful. Some took communion, some did foot washing, some you know, just sat in His presence, some knelt in His presence, some stood in His presence, but it was just so nice to have a time of reflection and the anointing of His presence. And I got to say, Miss Debbie, you washed my feet Friday night, and I felt the presence of the Lord, and I said, Lord, I need a healing. And I felt the Lord's healing in my body yesterday. I was doing yard work, and I just kept saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your healing. Thank you for your presence. Because at the feet of Jesus, and when we bring our spices, come on, somebody, the title of my sermon today is Bring Your Spices. Why Are You Weeping? And we're going to talk about that this morning, but I'm just thankful that at the feet of Jesus, I mean, Jesus sat with those He loved, and the first thing that He did was wash their feet, all 24 feet, all 24 feet, every one of them. Jesus knew, but Judas ate too. And so I'm thankful for the presence and the anointing of the Holy Spirit that meets us where we are every single time. And I'm thankful for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You know what I find sometimes is that it's a challenge for us to linger. It's a challenge for us to linger. And it took me a little bit to get my mind out of everything else mode and just linger and focus in the presence of the Lord. And so I'm learning more and more, Pastor, that it just to linger in His presence. No agenda, no request, no nothing that presented before Him except that, Lord, I'm here and I'm at Your feet. And at your feet there is fullness of joy. That when the woman broke open her alabaster box, she had no right to even be in the room. Simon said, if you knew what kind of woman that this is, you would not allow her to wash your feet. But Jesus said, Simon, I got something to say to you. Because I want to tell you, what Simon says is not always what the Holy Spirit says. We got to quit playing Simon says, and we got to start playing what Jesus said. He said, she brought this anointing and she anointed my feet, and wherever the gospel is preached. Come on, somebody, you want to make history? Wherever the gospel is preached, her story shall be told. Not the story of Simon, but the story of a woman that said, I will sell out all that I am to sit at the feet of Jesus and to pour out my spice and my praise on him. And when she did, there was a fragrance, Miss Ruth, that filled the room. And people knew that she had been in the presence of Jesus. I love and appreciate the spices in the house this morning. Come on, somebody. Did you bring your spices with you today? Did you prepare for the service? You know what the women at the tomb did when darkness happened and they took the body of Jesus to the tomb? They started to prepare some spices. Do I have any myrrh bearers in the house that have been preparing some spices for the house? The worship team has been preparing some spices. The dancers shared their spices. The Sunday school teachers are sharing some spices. The greeters are sharing their spices. Because you know what happens when we come together with our spices prepared? There's a fragrance of a presence that fills the room. Anybody ever ate cinnamon all by itself? It's bitter. It's nasty, right? Anybody ever licked lard off the spoon? Anybody ever tasted baking soda? But boy, when you mix that all together with some flour and a little bit of oil and a little bit of warm water, and you throw the yeast in and some cinnamon and you toss it around a little bit, and then you lay it out and you slather with some butter and some cinnamon and some sugar, all of a sudden you got some cinnamon rolls. How many know we came together today to blend it all together? That there is a flavor of the fragrance of the Lord in the house. Can you say amen? So I'm so glad you're here. I'm so glad you brought your spice. And I'm so glad you brought your flavor. Some of y'all just a little spicier than others. Come on, do I have any spice girls in the house this morning? How many know they went home to prepare their spices, but the spice girls showed up at the tomb. Hallelujah. I'm going to go to John before I preach my whole sermon this morning, and we'll just go from there. We're going to see what happens. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saying unto him, they have taken away my Lord, and I don't know where to find him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. I like how he says that. Peter went to the tomb, and that other disciple. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home, but Mary. Everybody say, but Mary. Now, what did we say last week that the name Mary means? Bitterness. But bitterness was still at the sepulcher weeping. The name Mary means bitterness. And at the cross of Jesus, it takes great pains to point out that Mary was at the foot of the cross and John, the beloved, the one whom Jesus loved. And Jesus looks from the cross with hardly having a breath in him, and he said, "Woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother." And at the foot of the cross, bitterness, and the name John means grace. At the foot of the cross, bitterness and grace collide. Don't you love it? Bitterness, it was at the foot of the cross. How many know it was brutal? It was harsh. It was a horrible death. But yet at the foot of the cross, grace was there and made a home for bitterness. Aren't you thankful that you can leave your bitterness at the foot of the tomb? That sorrow and mourning will flee away. And so bitterness stood without at the sepulcher weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher. Several times in this portion of scripture, it points out the fact that they stooped down and peered into the tomb. How many know there's times when you gotta stoop down, you gotta lean forward to see what Jesus is doing, to have the vision of what you need to see and what you need to encounter. But Jesus modeled it when he stooped down. Yep. How many know when Peter gets up in the garden and Jesus says to him, "Guys, can't you just watch and pray with me for 1 hour, seeing that the spirit is willing and the flesh is weak?" And he'd go back and he'd wake them up and they'd go back to sleep. But when the time came when Judas came and betrayed Jesus with a kiss, Peter all of a sudden wakes up. And what he does, instead of being in prayer mode, he pulls the sword. And when he pulls the sword, he swings it and cuts off the ear of Malchus, the servant Malchus, who is standing there. And Jesus rebukes Peter. And he said, "Put away your sword. Don't you know?" I want to tell you that one of the most powerful things that Jesus did in those 3 days, he said, "Don't you know that I could call at this moment legions of angels at my dispense?" And I've preached this many times, but I wonder that when Jesus makes this statement, and when Peter has a sword drawn, when Jesus said, "I could call right now legions of angels at my defense," that if all heaven stood with swords drawn, saying, "If you say the word, we will go." And when they stood at attention and Jesus did not summons the heaven, he did not summons an army, he did not summons those who could have come and defended him and rescued him, you know what he did? He stooped down. And when he stooped down, he picked up the ear of Malchus. And I believe with the very, very breath of God that he breathed into man and man became a living soul. He blew on the ear of Malchus's ear, and he walks over to the one who's about to arrest him, and he puts it back on his face, and he goes home. And we don't know the rest of the story. You all know me by now. I'm a rest of the story kind of girl. I want to know what the conversation is at Malchus's house at dinner time. When Mrs. Malchus says, "Honey, how was your day?" He said, "Well, babe, I think we need to talk because I think I'm in the unemployment line. I think I'm working for the wrong side. I don't know. They went to arrest a man today. But all I know is when his disciples got ready to fight and cut my ear off, Jesus stooped down and with the breath blew on my ear and he put my ear back on my head and I cannot go back to the job I used to do. I think I have just encountered the breath of Jesus when he stooped down." Mary comes to the tomb and she stoops down. Peter and the disciples, they come to the tomb and they stoop down. There was another incident when Jesus is in the multitude and they bring the woman who is taken in adultery. And they said, the law says we should stone her. What do you say? Jesus did not reply to their demands. He did not reply to the law. He simply did what? He stooped down. And when he stooped down, the scripture says he began to write with his finger in the dust, the very dust that Malchus's ear had just encountered. He writes with his finger in the dust of the earth. And I want to tell you this morning, I think he rewrites her story and he rewrites history and he starts to write things. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The God you came to celebrate today is the God who stooped down. I'm thankful for the day when he stooped down and began to write in the dust of my humanity. And he started to write his name on my heart, Miss Linda, when he started to engrave his calling upon my heart and his presence became a reality in my life. It wasn't what the legal system said, because the law had an offense against us all, but Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundant. And so she stooped down. I got to tell you that bitterness has to stoop at the graveside. Bitterness has to stoop at a sepulcher. She stooped down and looked into the sepulcher. See, a two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. I mean, no, that was a picture of a mercy seat. On the mercy seat, there were two angels that stood, one at the head and one at the foot. And they were facing each other, and it was a blood-sprinkled mercy seat that was only in the most holy place, that only the high priest could go into and encounter. But when Jesus began to cry out on the cross, it is finished. The scripture tells us that the curtain, which was approximately 18 feet tall and 4 inches thick, tore from the top to the bottom. And mercy came running out of that place. And we now can stoop in and see a most holy place. We can see a blood-sprinkled mercy seat. We can see the Lamb's blood that has been shed for us, that we could receive life. Not just life, but life more abundant. And they said unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto him, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Can we just stop for a moment and think about Mary? She said, when he began to talk to her, he said, why are you weeping? Why are you bringing your weeping here? And she said, because I can't find Jesus. I don't know where he is. Tell me, sir, if you have taken my Lord, can you tell me where to find him? I submit to you today, there's a whole lot of people looking for the Jesus with resurrection life. I saw a t-shirt the other day, and I hope this doesn't offend you, but it had the picture of Jesus on the front, and it said, OMG, I did not say that. I need that t-shirt. Mother's Day's coming up. Just kidding, Beth. Because here's the deal. We have blamed Jesus for a whole lot of things that was not what he said. We have preached or taunted hate and rejection. And we have said things and we have done it in the name of Jesus that has not been Jesus at all. Because the Jesus I know stoops down. He washes feet. He feeds the one who knows he's going to betray him. He feeds him before he ever leaves the table. And then when Judas made the decision he did it with communion bread in his belly and the wine of that supper in his belly, because Jesus said, Judas, I'm going to get to you first before you ever get to me, because my blood and my body is bigger than even your betrayal. And she says, I can't find Jesus. I don't see Jesus. Can I tell you, when we come to the tomb and we experience the things that look like it has come to an end, is there anybody in the house this morning that has experienced some things that look like they're dead? They have come to an end. They look like it's over. And we don't see Jesus for our bitterness. And we can't see Jesus for our mourning. And we can't see Jesus because all we can see is what was behind us. We see the brutality. We see the pain. We see everything that's behind us. But we have come to a place this morning that we're not focusing on the cross. We're focusing on a tomb that is empty, because my Savior stooped down and became a man that I could become as He is in this earth. She said, sir, I don't recognize Jesus. I don't know where they have taken my Lord. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus and did not know that Jesus was in the midst of her bitterness. Jesus was at the tomb. Verse 15, Jesus saith unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. He said, woman, why are you weeping? She said, because they have taken my Lord, and I don't know where they have taken him. And she is communing with Jesus, and yet she does not see Jesus in the midst of what looks like a graveyard. How many know Jesus doesn't call it a graveyard? The scripture doesn't call it a graveyard. It calls it a garden. It calls it a garden. How many know it started in a garden and it ends in a garden? When Adam and Eve took a tree and turned it into a tree of death, Jesus took a tree and turned it into a tree of life. And from the beginning, it has always been his desire that his children would dwell in a garden called paradise. So that the thief who's on the cross, he says to him, today, you shall be with me in paradise. Little does she know, she's standing right in the middle of paradise, in a place called a garden, with the master gardener speaking to her. And he saith unto her, Mary. And she turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, my master. There's something about the way that he calls your name. There's something about the way that Jesus says your name. Can anybody in here remember the moment when Jesus called your name? Me and Dan? Yeah. Anybody remember the moment when he drew you in, when you received him as your personal Savior? Do you remember your encounter with Jesus? Is there anybody in the house that remembers their encounter with Jesus? I was a little girl, about 3 or 4 years old, and I was sitting up on a table while my mom was making homemade bread. And she started to tell me about Jesus. And she told me that Jesus had saved her and come into her heart. And we lived in a house that was full of chaos and addiction, alcoholic abuse. My dad was an alcoholic. But one day, my mom heard Jesus call her name. And when she did, she responded. And when she responded, she told her kids. And when she told her kids, I got down off of the table, that I was small enough to sit on the table. And I remember walking into Aaron's parents' house over there, getting down by a couch and asking Jesus to come into my heart. I didn't know what it meant when I was 4 years old, but I can tell you the place where it happened. And I remembered when he called my name, and I said unto him, Rabboni, you are my master. And from that moment on, he still continually calls my name. And it's in the quiet, and it's in the peace, and it's in the garden, and it's in the moment of the greatest chaos. It's in our moment of bitterness. It's in our moment of weakness. It's in our moment of transition. How many know Friday was brutal? Saturday was silent. But can I tell you, silent does not mean inactive. Because I'm going to tell you, he was bankrupt in hell on Saturday so he could lead a procession out of there on Sunday when they rolled away the tomb and the angels came from heaven. I was giggling last night because I thought, they said, when we get to the tomb, who's going to roll that stone away? And I thought about what heaven must have been and if they had to draw straws to see who's going. Come on, let's just think for just a moment. When they know that Sunday morning is the coronation of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and there's two angels dispatched from heaven to a place called a tomb or called a grave, and when they get there, they roll the stone away and they sit on it and they wait. I don't know if it was Michael and Gabriel. I don't know if it was Moses and Elijah. I don't know who it was. But I bet they're up there saying, pick me, pick me, pick me. I want to be the one. I want to be there. I want to see their face when they realize this hasn't just been a story, but it has been since the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world, and everything that we have prepared to this moment is about to happen. Pick me, send me, let me roll the stone away. Let me be there when all of humanity starts to encounter resurrection life. And they stand there and they see the angels and they see the empty tomb, and they said, but it doesn't yet appear to them what's going on. But Jesus shows up in the midst of their bitterness, in the midst of their sorrow, with some women who got some spices in their hand. Come on, do I have any myrrh bearers in the house that said, I did not show up to bitterness. I did not show up to death. I did not show up to this place empty handed. I brought everything with me that has prepared me for this moment. I brought the incense. I brought the spices. But I refuse to anoint death. I come here to celebrate the risen Lord. I come to celebrate a resurrected Savior. See, what gets us in trouble sometimes, I believe, is we show up to places and we still want to anoint what used to be. Come on, have you ever been in a place where you're still trying to open that door that's been closed? Have you ever been in a place where God has said, this is not the end, it's just a new chapter, it's just a new beginning, but we're still trying to go back? You cannot live life in a rearview mirror. You have to live in the moment that he has you right here and right now, and know that your steps are ordained and they are ordered, and that he has placed you here for such a time as this. And so he says, Rabboni, which is to say, my master. Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord. She had not only seen the Lord, but she had encountered the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. Jesus speaks peace. peace. And when he had said so, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. He shows up. She's the first one to take the message of the tomb to the disciples. Mary Magdalene, the woman who had been delivered from seven demons, seven devils, who had been rescued, the woman who had followed his ministry, the woman who had financed his ministry, the woman who sat in bitterness at the tomb, and yet Jesus begins to speak again. I want to tell you this morning, if you have been in a season or you've been in a place where it seems like the Lord has been silent, silent does not mean inactive. Just because you don't know the next step doesn't mean he's not already ahead of you. It doesn't mean that he's not already at work doing something bigger and greater. And as a matter of fact, he looks at Mary, and Mary wants to grab hold of Jesus and hold him there. And he said, Mary, I have not yet ascended into the Father. Don't hold on to me. Don't cling to me, but go and tell my disciples. See, what happens is we get stalled out sometimes and thinking that it has to be like it's always been. How many are ready to move on from what's been to what is greater, to what is better, to what God is about? He said, if you let me go, Mary, there is so much more in store. Because when he gets to disciples, he said he breathes on them and they are filled with the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit of God is filled into the disciples. Not only is he a companion in this world that they had walked with, but now he's an indwelling Spirit and presence of the Lord, an anointing in us. Know you not that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost? Why do you weep? Why are you weeping? She said, because I don't know where they have taken my Lord. And so Jesus begins to talk with her, and he begins to minister to her. But how many know Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus had already anointed the body for death? The spices of the myrrh bearers at the tomb was to anoint him for life. Come on, to pour out our praise, our anointing, our presence on him. I'm reminded, you know, we think about, go ahead and bring me up Psalms, the scripture in Psalms that I gave you. I'll read it and then I'll talk about it. It says, I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but a moment, in his favor is life. Read this with me. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Let's read that again. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. I come to tell somebody today that it's morning time. Good morning, good morning. It is morning time. Your weeping may have been for a season, but joy is about to break forth in your heart if you will realize that he has prepared a way for you. Mourning is not your name, but joy. Somebody call me joy today, because joy comes in the morning. We were in a weeping stage, but joy had already showed up in the morning. And in my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by thy favor, thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. I cried to thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made my supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I shall go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me, Lord. Be thou my helper. Thou hast turned from me my mourning into dancing, and thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. To the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent, O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. I want to break out in song and sing that this morning, but I'll hold back. He has turned my mourning into dancing. How many know if you've had your mourning shoes on, you need to change them for your dancing shoes? Hallelujah. Because he will turn your mourning into dances. He will give you beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that we might be trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. If we believe that this morning, you need to say amen and say, I receive that, because he will turn your sorrow into joy. Man, we think we got to carry a whole lot of things we were never meant to carry. But instead of coming to weep and to cry, I'm going to come bringing my spices. I'm going to come bringing my anointing oil. I'm going to come and pour, be a fragrance poured out, that weeping and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. Amen. It had been a long night. Those disciples didn't sleep much in the night. I love the scripture there. And Mark says it differently, but in the scripture it talks where Peter comes to this tomb, but he doesn't go in first. John goes in. And I wonder about Peter's hesitation. Is there a reason? Was John just a faster runner? John had his Hokas or his Nikes or his whatever. He had his running shoes on, and he got there first. Or did Peter have a hesitation? Because in Mark it tells us, he tells the ladies at the tomb, he said, go tell my disciples, and tell Peter that I am risen indeed. Man, that gets me every time. It gets me every time. Because the last connection that Jesus and Peter had was in the moment when the cock would crow. And the scripture tells us that Jesus turns and looks at Peter, and Peter goes away sorrowful. Jesus prepared him. He said, Peter, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. But don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe in me, Peter. For I'm going to prepare a place for you, and that place I'm preparing is a place called Calvary. And I believe at the moment that he turns and looks at Peter, that he's looking him in the eye and he's like, stay with me, Peter. Stay with me, Peter. Focus. Focus. It's going down just like I said. It's going down just like I said. And he said, and Peter went away sorrowful. I don't know what Friday night was like for Peter. I don't know what Saturday night was like for Peter. But I know what Sunday was like for Peter. I don't know if there's any of you in here that identify with Peter, but I don't know what it was like on Friday. I don't know what it was like on Saturday, but I know what it was like on Sunday when I get to the tomb and he's not there and I'm saying, could it be? Could it be that he really was who he said that he was the King of Kings? He was the Lord of Lords. He's the risen Savior. He's going ahead of us. So go tell my disciples and tell Peter, I'm risen. So that when he comes to the tomb, he comes with anticipation of the restoration that has always been provided through him and through the cross. So that when Jesus sits down with him on the shore and says, Peter, do you love me? Peter said, Lord, you better believe I love you. You know, we talked about calling his name, that moment when he called Mary's name and says, Rabboni, my master. And she recognized that voice, and it made me think about, when we think about weeping maybe endure for the night and the joy comes in the morning, it made me think about the very first encounter possibly that Jesus had with the disciples when they're out on the boat. And you all sang the song in Sunday school, right? It said they fished all night and they caught no fishes out on the deep blue sea. Did y'all sing that song? Nobody. A couple of us sang that song. But then came Jesus, out on the deep blue sea. And they're out in the boat, and the scripture said, Jesus says to them, launch out. Go deeper. Go deeper, boys. Professional fishermen on a professional fishing boat. And he says, go out into the deep. Message Bible says, and using his boat for a pulpit, he begins to preach to the multitude. And when he's done preaching to the multitude, he said, now let down your nets for a catch and get ready. Get ready. Get ready. Come on, somebody. At the sound of his voice, Peter stands up and said, Lord, we have fished all night. He doesn't say that. He says, we have toiled all the night. You don't have to raise your hand this morning, but have you toiled all night? Have you toiled all night at times, and it seems unproductive? But he says, but at the sound of your voice, I will let down the nets. And when they let down the nets, they brought in a draught of fish that they could not hardly handle. And Peter says, get away from me. I am unholy in your presence. And Jesus says, from now on, you're going to catch fish. And they left their nets and they followed him. What is it about the sound of the Master's voice when he calls your name? That at the sound of his voice, but Lord, if you are saying one more time, I'm going to try it one more time. I'm going to cast that net again. I'm going to cast that net again. And at the sound of his voice, the harvest began to come in. And they left their nets and they followed him. What is it about that call that had them give up everything they had and everything that they were to follow this man? Weeping may endure for the night, but joy is on the horizon. Joy comes in the morning. We are about to replace mourning, M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G, for mourning, M-O-R-N-I-N-G. Joy comes in the morning. Bring me up the other scripture in Psalms, I believe it is. We have Psalms 24, I believe it is. We talked before about Psalms 22. It's Jesus' cry from the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? It is a prophetic declaration from the cross of what Jesus would encounter. But Psalms 23 is, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Hallelujah. Psalms 24, and I want to end with this. It says, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting lords, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your head, O ye gates, and lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? He's the Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory, Selah. Selah means stop and think about that for a moment. Is that the last one? Miss 10. Stand with me this morning. Who is this King of glory? He's the Lord strong and mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. How many know you got to lift your head to see what's happening in the heavens? If all you ever look at is the earth, you're going to see what's happening in the earth. But he said, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, you everlasting doors, for the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? Why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here. You're not going to find Jesus in dead places. Because when dead places encounter Jesus, resurrection life takes place. You're not going to find Jesus in dead places. You're going to find resurrection life springing up. How many are ready for God to resurrect some things? Resurrect your hope. want him to resurrect your faith today. I want him to resurrect your hope. I want him to resurrect your trust. I want him to resurrect your family. I want him to resurrect your relationships. I want him to resurrect those things that you thought were dead and that you thought were finished and that you thought couldn't happen, but God. But God. Hallelujah. Shonda, when I said that and I looked over to you, the Lord said he's about to resurrect some things that you thought were gone. There has been some things behind you, and weeping endures for the night, but joy is coming to you, my dear. I want you to know that the favor of the Lord is upon you and upon your children, upon your house. And God wants to resurrect some of those dreams that you thought were gone, some of those things you thought would never happen. Joy is about to camp out at your house in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray over her family. I pray over her children. I pray over her hopes and her dreams and those things that she's put on the back burner thinking they'll never happen. Trust me, daughter. Trust me. And I will bring things to pass that you never thought possible in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Tony, the other night I was sitting here and I heard singing and I knew it was you. I heard the voice of a male singing and the Lord said to tell him his song is coming back. That the heart of rejoicing, the heart of worship, and the heart of celebration is coming back. You have worked, you have labored, and you have sowed, but God is about to bring increase in your house. He's about to bring increase in your field, and he's about to anoint those things that you have given up hope on, but God is resurrecting hope in you today. Sing, oh man of God, sing, because the anointing of the Lord is upon your house, and is upon your heart, and it's upon your creativity, and you're going to see God do amazing, incredible things in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, worship with me this morning. Hallelujah.